Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, what a welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball, where you turn for basketball discussion and all kinds of storytelling elements as well. You know, I got a lot of things that I want to share about my trip to Israel coaching the Maccabi Games team. And for people who don't know what it is, it's cool. It's basically considered the Jewish Olympics. And it's neat. This particular time, I coached as head coach 5 years ago, which meant 6 years ago, we had tryouts. We picked a team. Some guys end up canceling. One guy gets hurt, you know, blah, 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 blah. This team was actually selected 2 years ago, and John Shire was supposed to be the head coach. At the time, John Shire was the lead assistant at Duke. And then, of course, the next summer, he was named the head coach in waiting and was going to be the head coach. And because of it, he had to kind of politely kind of walk away from it. So part of this was the team that he selected. Scotty Greenman, who he hasn't done the pod yet, but he said he's going to. Scotty was supposed to be his assistant. Scotty played on the team. Scotty was a tremendous player and he's a tremendous coach. And so he was supposed to take over. He's an assistant American, but because he was changing jobs this offseason, I end up getting the call. Like, I'm nothing but honest with you guys. And it's fun. It's a thrill. It was a little challenging because it was not a team that I had selected. So as much as the practices were about getting better, a good portion of the practices were about me trying to figure out who to use them, how to use them, who to play, how to play. And that's kind of what we did. Sky Etten was my assistant and he was the defensive coordinator and he took what they do and how they do at Princeton as he's a full-time assistant and put into play. And I find him to be an outstanding coach. Players like him. He teaches in a way in which is easily consumable. He's demanding, but not in an overbearing way. For me to work with him, I thought we had a great symbiotic working relationship. I did the offense, he did the defense, and then I did the get on their ass about playing hard sort of thing. He did the scouts and the minutia, if you will. It was really good. And part of the trip is the head coach and assistant. We actually roomed together for 3.5 weeks. Right? So we did training camp in New Jersey for 3 days. We did a training camp in Israel for 4 more days. Then we do touring where we train in the morning and tour in the afternoon. We played friendlies against the 18 under team and the Israel 20U team. And then we played six games. We won all eight games, two friendlies and six. And we were always better in the second half than we were first half. And I think a good portion of it was his help with adjustments, my demand for the type of energy every day at practice, not just enthusiasm energy, so that we were in great shape. But I got to know Skyler on a Sky on a level that's above that of just being a coaching colleague, on that of being a really good friend. And when I heard his story, I thought, you know, I really want him to tell his story on this pod. So Sky Ettin's an assistant coach at Princeton. This interview is a snapshot of what it's like to recruit to the Ivy League, how to get to where he's gotten at just 30 years old, and what he wants for his own future. I thought you'd enjoy it. Here's my pod with Princeton assistant Sky Ettin.
All right. So obviously we have now like this crazy month and a half of like friendship go from like don't know each other to living together for a month that I want to get to, which is fun.
Yep.
But I purposely didn't ask you a bunch of this stuff because sometimes it's better to like learn about a person as you go and then dial back, right? Because you bring in the baggage of then whenever there's like a lull in conversation, like, I don't know, the interviewer brain in me goes like, oh, hey, tell me more about. Anyway, so let's start at the beginning. You were born, grew up where?
Princeton, New Jersey.
So born and bred.
Yeah, man. Crazy.
Parents, educators, like why were you in Princeton?
Both my parents, psychologists. They
how'd you feel about that?
Exactly. That was growing up for sure. They both had like private practices a little outside of, you know, Princeton, about 20 minutes away. So they settled in Princeton and, you know, been here ever since.
What kind of psychologists were they?
Both clinical psychologists. My mom deals with trauma. My dad used to do group therapy. So yeah, all the conversations you can imagine we had. That was the life.
Why'd you love basketball? What was it? What was it? When was it? What? Tell me how that relationship started.
Really from my dad, you know, he was a huge fan. He played in high school. He actually played at Cranford High School. And at the time the head coach was Hubie Brown. So he played for Hubie, which was cool. He had a bunch of really cool stories. Some nice, some not so nice, as you can imagine.
I believe, just so you know, and it's funny, you know, we went to that movie in Cranford.
Yes.
Minions movie in Cranford. But my dad replaced Hubie at Fairlawn High School, which I think he was at Fairlawn before Cranford.
Wow.
Right? And that's like, so that's how small the world is.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So yeah, it really came from him. You know, I started playing at a really young age, you know, 4 or 5. And just the, you know, the love developed from there, you know, just, you know, by going outside and, you know, playing at the park with him and, you know, you just kind of, you fall in love with this thing and you keep doing it and you know, you want to chase some things in the game. So that's,
so you, when you grew up in Princeton, New Jersey in the '90s.
Yes.
Is like everything, the Princeton offense, like from the very youngest age, you like do the, you know, the 45 and all those things.
Yeah, you know, I grew up going to the camps, right? You know, you had first John Thompson when I really started to go, which was early 2000s. And then Joe Scott. And so you kind of grow up with, you know, learning, you know, thinking, you know how to play a little bit. And, you know, I grew up going to games. And so definitely the Princeton offense was always at the forefront of things, for sure.
What was the park or the rec center where you kind of like were first hooping at?
Yeah. So there's this park, Community Park, which is a local elementary school. I didn't go to Community Park. There's 4 elementary schools in Princeton, but Community Park had this league and it still does. It's and it goes from younger kids to middle-aged kids to adult league at night. So I used to go play in the kids league, and then I would stay and watch the adult league. And at that time it was Division I sanctioned. So a lot of the Princeton players who were around in the summer would play, and it was really good competition. Some really good players passed through there. So that's really where I truly developed my love for basketball, just watching the men's league games. You know, it was a really cool atmosphere. People will come, it's outside under the lights, really cool experience. The league's been going for almost 30 years. It's pretty cool.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Princeton High School, the public high school in Princeton.
Yeah. So are they the Tigers as well? It's like everything.
The little Tigers, Doug, the little Tigers, you know, couldn't be the normal Tigers. Had to be
little the Princeton Little Tigers.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys run elbow and chin as well?
No, we didn't run as much of that. Yeah, there's obviously a big pull from the university in a lot of ways.
Who's your high school coach?
This guy, Jason Carter. He went to Princeton High School, was a really good soccer player, actually, played in college. And, you know, he coached me as a freshman on the freshman team. And then my sophomore year, I got moved to varsity and he became the varsity coach. So I had him all 4 years, and he actually was one of my college assistants at one point. So I spent a lot of time with Coach Carter. Good guy.
What were you like as a player?
I was a undersized forward. You know, I was 6'4", forward wing. I didn't shoot. I actually kind of turned myself into a shooter in college. But in high school, I didn't shoot many threes and kind of just finished around the rim and was crafty and, you know, but undersized for sure.
What was like, obviously your dream was to play at Princeton. What was the dream?
The dream, I don't know if it was necessary to play at Princeton. You know, there's some pretty smart guys obviously now working there. I know how smart they are. So, you know, I'm a smart guy as well, but I didn't know if Princeton would be my path. I really just wanted to play in college. You know, Division I was obviously the ultimate goal. And, you know, as I started to become, you know, junior and senior, kind of realized that Division III was going to be more of my path, or I would walk on Division I somewhere. But the ultimate goal was to play in college and, you know, play as long as I could.
What were your parents like when you're like, again, they come from the world of psychology, not from the world of basketball.
Yeah.
You have this passion for it, and then you're trying to figure out what were they like during this time?
They were great. Really supportive. I mean, my dad coached me all the way through till I got to high school. Like, he coached middle school travel and whatnot. And, you know, we did everything as a family, right? I'm an only child, so I don't have siblings. So they came to all the games. I mean, my parents very rarely missed any of my games. So really supportive and just kind of helping me, you know, whether it's helping me get to a travel team to get better or, you know, do some different things. They were, you know, helping me follow that dream of playing in college.
When did you first find out your dad was sick?
Eighth grade, he got diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. So that was, you know, he was a really smart guy, wrote a bunch of books, clinical, also other, you know, fiction books. And so you kind of started to see some different things. You know, he used to work a ton. So you thought maybe, you know, he wasn't sleeping enough. And, you know, then ultimately he got tested. And then the progression kind of started from there. You know, went from, you know, ninth grade, he was still working. Sophomore year, he started to stop really working. And junior year, he kind of went downhill and stopped talking junior, senior year. And so definitely an adjustment.
What was that like for you?
Really hard, really hard. You know, he was, you know, imagine this person that coached you your whole life, that was your biggest influence. You don't have siblings. You're really close with your family in general. And to go from someone, you know, a relationship where now I'm having to help take care of him with my mom, right? Like, we're balancing, you know, each other, are, you know, come home early from school, you know, have last period of the day free so I could check on him, you know? So that was, you grow up fast in those situations, right? So it was hard for sure.
Did you let your coaches in? Like, did Coach Carter, did he know?
Yeah. Coach Carter knew. He was great. You know, the whole community of Princeton, I'm really lucky, you know, the whole community kind of took us all in and looked out for him. And, you know, he had his moments where he'd wander and people in the community would see him and give him a ride back home, or, you know, he'd wander to the high school and somebody called me and I go get him, you know, like the whole community of Princeton really looked out for us. We had some really good friends, you know, including Coach Carter. And, so everyone was really understanding and new and, really helpful.
But you're talking about, like, okay, balancing your school, basketball, your dad has got Alzheimer's, managing it with your mom.
Yeah.
Like, still a high school student and a dude. So did this were you able to date? Like, did you do like the regular high school stuff, or was there just too much other stuff kind of going on?
No, I did. I you know, my mom was really good about, making sure that I had the normal high school experience. And I did that, you know, I played football in high school. I played basketball, you know, had a girlfriend, all the above, you know, I tried to be as normal as possible, but I also included my dad in a lot. I'd bring him around different places, so you kind of had to balance trying to, you know, have a normal life, but also knowing that there's some differences and some responsibilities that you have at a younger age that people don't have necessarily.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Did you decide where you were going before your senior year, after your senior year?
Kind of in the middle of my senior year. I was really, there was four schools that I ended up kind of choosing from. I was going to walk on at either College of Charleston or Tampa, or play at Guilford, where I ended up going for a year, or the College of New Jersey. And I ultimately decided I really wanted to play. I didn't want to, you know, take the chance of not making the team or not being able to, you know, have a chance to contribute. So decided to go to a small school in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is Guilford, who was really good. They were coming off two Final Four appearances the year before I got there. So I went there and it was a great experience. I ended up breaking my foot before our first game. So I was out all year, which was really hard. And that's kind of where the coaching part started for me, because I got to watch for the first time and not play. And then I ended up transferring because my dad was really sick at that time and was, you know, on the kind of end stages of life there. So I transferred back home to be close and finished my time out at the College of New Jersey, which I loved.
I'm interested, though, in the decision to go to Guilford when you don't have your dad's voice.
Yeah.
In you, right? Like if I look at, I mean, honestly, my dad probably too involved in my decision making to go to Notre Dame, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was almost, you know, he almost kind of led me right to the water.
Yeah.
And I drank it. Although, I mean, it was definitely my decision. I take full accountability for it. But I do know that, you know, like you said, he coached you at a young age. I'm sure he knew your game.
Yep.
And at some point you would have liked to, what now kind of looking back, what is that like to make life-changing decision, like go away to school and not have his guidance?
Yeah, it was really hard. You know, you end up making most of these important decisions, right? Really without him, unfortunately. And I just tried to, you know, I tried to remember everything he's told me, taught me, or learned from him, right? Whether it's through, you know, when I was younger, or even, you know, you learn things from people even when they're going through this stuff, right? Like you learn things about people. So I just, you know, I obviously became really close to my mom and she was really helpful. But for me, it was just trying to, I think I need to get away for a little bit, you know, had been really hard being home. And it was a really tough decision to leave that situation. And my mom kind of pushed me to do it. And it, you know, it helped me grow in a lot of ways, right? But it was hard. It was hard, you know, not having his voice to, you know, have someone to bounce it off with. And, you know, that's where kind of the family atmosphere of, you know, Jason Carter, my high school coach, Steve Everett, my high school football coach, like those guys were really helpful and really caring. So I had a big circle around me.
Played high school football?
I did, believe it or not. I played
what position?
I played corner. I stayed 20 yards off. I played cover three. And, you know, I just met you. You know, you wanted to throw deep. I met you there. And
why'd you play quarterback? You're 6'4 and smart. Like,
you'll like this story. So I always wanted to play football growing up, my whole life. Wanted to play football, play with my friends in the backyard.
Mom wouldn't sign the permission slip?
Neither of them would sign the permission slip. No one would let me play. I'm begging both parents, let me play Pop Warner. No. All right. Freshman year, let me play high school. So my dad, he was still in ninth grade. He was still working. He hadn't really declined yet. So my dad's like, all right, I'm gonna go watch the first practice and I'll let you know. He goes first practice. It's like hitting practice. And he comes back. He's like, you're not playing. So my high school coach, Steve Everett, was, you know, he's very charismatic. He walked the hallways. He grabbed new football players every day. And, he'd be like, come on, come play. I'm like, I can't. They won't let me. So my junior year comes around and he's like, I'm coming to the house. So the high school football coach comes to my house. My dad at this point was, you know, not speaking. So it was really just my mom. And, you know, he did a good selling, you know, this guy's not going to get hurt. I'm going to put him on defense, blah, blah, blah. And, was able to convince my mom, you know, and that at that point was out of the picture a little bit. So, got to play football for my last 2 years.
How was it?
It was awesome. Football is awesome. It's so cool. It's a different experience. Locker room. You're with, you know, 40 people. It's a whole different atmosphere. We had 22 seniors that played. So we had a really tight knit group and, you know, for, our town, we had some pretty good, you know, we made the state playoffs for the first time in a couple of years. So it was cool. It was really cool.
You come back to, let's start with, you're at Guilford. Who's the coach?
The coach is, I'm blanking on his name, Tom Palumbo, who had been there for a long time. He was the athletic director and coach. And I got recruited by their assistant, Caleb Kimbrough. He convinced me to go and went all the way out to Greensboro.
What's Guilford like as a school?
Really small school, under 2,000. It had a really good sports management program, which I knew I wanted to be in sports at that time. I didn't know I wanted to coach, but I knew I wanted to do something along sports. And I think the combination of good academics, good sports management program, and a really good basketball program was, you know, really what drew me to it.
I'm looking at Reagan Brown Fieldhouse. Is that where you guys play?
Yeah.
That is a weird looking place.
It's weird. It is weird.
So it has like wood ceiling kind of, but all these different
like a barn.
Angles.
Yeah. Huh? It's like a barn. It's weird. It was cool though. They had a lot of tradition and history. Like, you know, like I mentioned, they were coming off two Final Four appearances. They had two guys that played in NBA Summer League. Like they had done a really, really good job. And it's a really, the ODAC is a really good league. I mean, you got Randolph Macon, who I think just won the national championship this past year, three. Virginia Wesleyan, who's always good. So it's a really good league.
How'd you guys play? What was the style?
Yeah, we kind of had a ball screen motion and we threw it into, you know, they had a lot of success with bigs. You know, they had just graduated this guy, Tyler Sandborough, who, you know, was All-American and I think maybe even player of the year. And we had a couple other, 6'11" bigs. So we threw it into the bigs a lot, and we had this point guard that was really good. I'm blanking on his name now. I think Justin Pittman, who could really shoot. So a lot of ball screen motion stuff and thrown into the post, for some of the bigs.
Tom Palumbo, excellent mustache. Did he have the mustache when you played?
Yes, he did. Excellent.
Mustache. Solid use of the mustache. I'm not a mustache guy. I've never been a mustache guy. But I do respect guys that go to the mustache. It's like when you commit to it, you commit to it.
Yes. No, he committed. I haven't seen him in a long time, but I imagine he still has it. That was kind of his look.
Okay, so College of New Jersey, what's it actually called?
The College of New Jersey.
College of New Jersey, like the
exactly.
How big is the College of New Jersey?
It's about 6,000-7,000 undergrad, so a little bit bigger.
Also D3?
Also Division 3. They play in the NJAC, which is you got your Rutgers satellite schools, you got your Richard Stockton, William Patterson. So totally different league in a lot of ways. More athletes in the NJAC. Not as much skill, fast pace. So totally differently.
And then your coach there was who?
Kelly Williams, who's now the athletic director at Kane, which is where we had our training camp.
Right. So, but how did it work then with transferring Division 3? Like, did you call Kelly up like, "Hey, I'm coming," or is there a spot for me? Like,
how So he recruited me out of high school. And, I kind of knew pretty early I was going to transfer. So I called him and I was like, "Hey, I want to come back home. TCNJ is a place I like to be." And he was like, "Hey, apply." I had been doing really well at Guilford, so I thought I had a really good chance to get in. And he had a spot for me, so you don't have to sit out in Division 3 if you go from Division 3 to Division 3. So I got in, and that was the only school I applied out of transferring. Got in and stayed there.
You mentioned that when you're at Guilford, coaching first came possibility. What was it you were noticing when you're sitting with your broken foot?
I just, it was the first time in my life I had not had a season where I'm playing, right? Where you're worrying about so many different factors of playing, getting better, development. Like, really, the whole year was dedicated to rehabbing and watching and learning, right? And from a really good program as in Guilford. So for me, it was like, wait, like, this is something they do daily. They're impacting, and for me, really what coaching has come down to when I think about it, it's the, outside of my parents, the people that have had the biggest influence in my life have been coaches, right? And, I always knew I wanted to do something with people. Didn't have the brain power as the parents to go to a lot of schooling and get PhDs and be psychologists. So for me, this was the best route to impact people's lives, hopefully, and be around a game that I love. So Guilford, being hurt was a really good chance to see, day in and day out what coaches did, right? And how they taught and the impact they had.
So you go to TCNJ. Did you play immediately?
I did. Yep. Played immediately. I came off the bench, played 20 minutes a game or so. I think I started a couple games towards the, end of the season, and TCNJ was like a whole rebuild. It was totally different. The year before I got there, they went 5-20. My first year there, we won 9 games. Like, it was a total rebuild, until my senior year where we had some success. So different experience.
And then how did you come to work at Princeton while you're still at TCNJ?
So I kind of, after Guilford, I figured out I wanted to get into coaching. So I started to work camps, try to work different camps. And so Howard Levy, who I think, Jewish guy that played at Princeton, I've known him, my whole life from growing up, going to Princeton camps, and he's a close family friend. So I'd reached out to him about a connection to work camps at Princeton, and, he was able to connect me. So I worked camps for a summer there. Worked at Rutgers, Rider, kind of did the whole tour, Division 1 tour around New Jersey, just to kind of make some connections. And then after a summer of working camp, I got offered an internship with Princeton going into my senior year, which is really where, the rest happened.
Let's go back. How old were you when your dad died?
I was 20, one when my dad died.
So you're a junior?
Yes. I was, yes, a junior. Yep.
What time of year? When was it? What time of year?
He passed away in November 1st.
So yeah. This is basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. I missed my first scrimmage junior year because he was in the hospital and, you know, he, you know, went from Halloween. We had our first scrimmage on Halloween and, you know, he passed in the afternoon on the 1st.
How did you handle it emotionally?
Not great at first, right? Like I was up and down for sure. Like it was, really challenging. Like, you know, you had your moments that whole season for me, I was up and down and I ended up breaking my ribs, diving on a loose ball in practice. And, you know, so I had broken ribs at the funeral and, you know, it was, you know, everybody's trying to give you hugs and your ribs are killing you. And you're like, you know, they think you're crying 'cause you're upset, but I'm crying 'cause my ribs are killing me. But yeah, it was hard. My emotions were all over the place for sure. You know, some days I handled it better than others. Some days I didn't. Right. So that was really challenging.
There's also, and I don't want to speak for you because my grandpa died of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. There's also this weird, almost relief. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, like for my dad, when his dad died, he was there 3 days and the third day he died. But before he died, he like recognized him. Mm. Whereas the first few days he didn't. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's not the person that you know, that you love. And then when ultimately they pass, there's a little bit of relief of like, you know, at the end, it just is really hard to,
for sure,
you know, really hard to interact and you want to be there, but it's not, they don't recognize you. They don't understand you. It doesn't resonate. Some of that true with you?
For sure. It was, you know, the last year my dad was in a nursing home and he had to be in a nursing home in Pennsylvania because in New Jersey, if you're in a nursing home, then they count your spouse's as assets. So my whole mom's, you know, bank account, my whole mom's savings would have got erased paying for retirement. So he had to go to Pennsylvania, which is an hour and 10 minutes away. So my mom's going up almost every day. I'm going up 3-4 times a week to see him. And it was really hard. Like, you know, you don't want to see anyone in a nursing home. It's a really tough situation. That's not who he was. So, you know, it's sadness, but it was also relief, you know, that he was, you know, no longer, you know, in that state and someone that he wasn't.
Your best memory of your dad is what?
It's really just, it's at community park. Just playing, right? Just, you know, working on my game with him rebounding. You know, we spent a lot of hours there. We spent a lot of hours. So that's, you know, just overall, at community park, rebounding for me.
So you get through your junior year before your senior year. How did you find out you got offered this internship at Princeton?
One of the assistants who's now our associate head coach, Brett McConnell, he had reached out to me. He, you know, so that what had happened, they were playing a Division III game against Rowan, which is in our conference. So Brett called me and was like, hey, tell me, you know, what you know about Rowan. So I kind of gave him my scout of Rowan. And then, you know, they play Rowan, they beat him, you know, whatever. He calls me back, thanks me. And then he said, hey, you know, we have this position, internship position, where as long as you're receiving, you know, school credit, you can come and intern for us in the summer. Is that something you're interested in? I was like, yes, absolutely. So then I got TCNJ to give me an independent study to do it. I had to convince the marketing chair to, you know, there was no really class specific to do that. So I convinced the marketing chair to let me do an independent study to get class credit. And so I did an internship going into my senior year summer, after the whole summer, and, you know, doing everything from helping organize camps to, you know, helping with recruiting visits to, you know, anything they needed.
You get done playing. Well, so your senior year, what was that like as a player?
Good. It was really good. It was the first time, you know, we had struggled at TCNJ. And then finally, you know, I had a group of guys that actually all transferred in together. We kind of changed. I felt the culture of the program. And, you know, we finished top three, finished first time in 10 years and, you know, made the NJAC playoffs. So I felt like ended on a high note. And since then they've won the NJAC, they've had a lot of success and have kind of carried that on. So, it was great. It was a really good senior year. And as soon as I would go to Princeton still to help out as much as I could, But as soon as our season ended, I went right back to Princeton and, you know, was just volunteering, knowing that, you know, I was hoping to get a job in basketball, not Princeton, but basketball.
Your last game, playoffs?
Ooh, yeah, playoffs, Jersey City. We lose at home. It was against New Jersey City.
It was against New Jersey City. I was like,
It was a home game. We got upset, really tough. Did not have the game that I should have had, but, you know, it was, you know, they were good. They were really good. They were really good. They did a good job.
When you're in the locker room after that game, did you realize like that's the last time you're really going to lace them up and be on a team?
Yeah, it definitely hit me. Like, you know, I had flirted with the idea of if I can't find a coaching job, trying to play in the 100th division in Israel, wherever they take me. But, you know, I knew it was over right from there. So that was tough. Yeah, that was tough. That was a emotional roller coaster for sure.
So you start at Princeton, and then how did it progress there? Like, first year out, what are you doing?
So I go back to Princeton after our season ends at TCNJ. While I'm finishing up, only had two classes my last semester. I'm there every day helping out as an intern. And the director of basketball operations at the time was this guy, Craig Moore, who was a really good player, played at Northwestern, led the Big Ten in threes. I think led the country in threes made his senior year. And he was really good in giving me a lot of work, and the assistants gave me a lot of work. It was a really good staff. And after he did the basketball operations job for 1 year and decided that it wasn't for him. So he left, and I had kind of been doing the job a little bit for a while, and got lucky enough to get an interview, and Mitch hired me right out of college. So I started, you know, I graduated in May, and June 15th was my first day at Princeton as director of basketball operations.
What was your initial impression of Mitch?
Really genuine guy, like really cares, really genuine. Like, you know, I would be around the office and he would ask me how I'm doing. He took it, you know, he took interest in me, and that's, you know, for a Division I head coach to, you know, ask me as an intern how I'm doing and check in and, you know, give me, you know, he would give me some things like, hey, Sky, can you work on this project? Like, for him to even take an interest in me in any way, my first impression of him was just genuine.
So what year is this?
This is 2015.
Okay. So the year before you got there, you guys were just okay. Your first year, 22-7, 12-2 in the league. That's the Sky Etten factor.
Right? yeah. You know, director of ops, factor for sure. We had a really good team. We had a really good team that year. Really good. Some older guys.
What was different about the program being inside it as opposed to when you're just entering? Like, what did you learn in those early stages that was different than you thought?
I mean, you just learn there's, you know, at a mid-major level program, like, you don't have GAs, you don't have, like, you really have your head coach, your three assistants, your director of basketball operations, right? Maybe you have a couple managers, but it is, you are doing everything, right? And, you know, especially as director of ops, you have your hand in a little bit of everything. Like, you work directly with Mitch on a lot of different things, and, you know, you see everything. So it's a small business type of approach organization that you're kind of running. So you kind of see all of that and, you know, all the time equity that goes into it.
You know, I think a lot of us on the outside, so people think they know about Ivy Leagues and they really don't have much of an idea about the Ivy Leagues. I think the best example, there's a couple things. One, it's the financial aid element to it. I want to ask you about that.
Yep.
Two, there's the grades that are required to be recruited at that level.
Yep.
Three, there's this sense that, well, you also have a JV and there's no scholarship, so you can take as many people as you want. Again, this is a perception, whether it's a reality or not. So let's start with that one. Can you take as many people as you want? Is there a limit to how many people you can take?
Yeah, there's a limit. Similar to, you know, so how it works is the athletic department in whole gets a certain amount of slots. You know, every department every year, it's a little different. And then they give you you know, a certain amount of slots that you can have. And it's usually really, to be honest, like it's usually what you lose. Hey, you're graduating four guys, you get four slots. You're graduating three, you get three slots, right? So you can't, you know, there's this perception like we can just take. But you only have so many slots that admissions will support in athletics in total, and each program has a different number each year. So similar to scholarship limit, just a little different.
Now you do have a JV team?
We do. So that's really guys that are walking on. Our younger guys will play in that. You know, and each year is kind of fluctuated based on, you know, sometimes you don't get as many JV games because you got a lot of injuries, right? And younger guys are having to play, right? So it kind of just fluctuate based on the year. But we have had a JV program.
And then who coaches that?
I've coached it. I've actually, since I've been here, I've coached it for the most part, which has been great.
And then do they just show up at varsity practice? You have your own practice?
You know, a lot of the guys are ours. So you have a lot of freshmen that play. And then you have a couple, you know, the walk-ons or a couple other guys that aren't in the varsity program that will show up, you know, after practice. And, you know, we'll get, you know, a couple minutes in here or there, kind of after practice, just to kind of get together. So it's a little bit, you're kind of figuring it out and seeing who you have. And then, you know, one of a sudden all you know, these guys got a test and they can't come down. And so you're kind of, you're adjusting on the fly for sure. But COVID, you know, we haven't had it in a couple of years because of COVID.
Okay. So what are the challenges academically? Let's start with just getting kids in.
Yep.
What are the challenges to getting somebody in academically?
It's, you know, I think the challenges are people don't understand from an early age, your transcripts being evaluated, right? So it's not like I'm just looking, or admissions, more importantly, is looking at junior, senior year. They're looking at your freshman year, right? And if, you know, there's a blemish there, they're going to ask you, or they're going to ask me, hey, why did this person, you know, get a C freshman year math, or whatever the case is, right? So I think the challenge is educating people from an early age of that every grade matters, every class matters. You have to push yourself. You know, Princeton and other Ivies, they want to see you take an academic rigor that challenges yourself, right? So I think those are the challenge of just educating people on what a good transcript looks like and how to build that.
Can you, if you get a C, are you out? Like, got a C, he's out, cut him.
No. It's really a holistic approach, right? It's a holistic approach where they look at everything and what class did you get in C? What time? Why? You know, there's some different things. However, it does make things challenging, right? You want to avoid C's.
Okay. The best of your players you had.
Yeah.
The best transcript you've seen.
Like, I mean, we've seen some good ones, Doug.
Like, give me one really who you have currently, or you've coached at Princeton.
Yes.
And you're like, this thing was so good, I almost thought it was fake.
I mean, we've had a couple where you're like, you know, getting into Princeton on your own is like winning the lottery. Like, it's under 5% acceptance rate. It's really hard to get in. And so we've had a couple of guys that I was like, wow.
Give me one.
we actually had a California, we have a California guy, Mason Hooks, and he took really rigorous classes. He's wants to do molecular biology. At Princeton. So he's a science guy. He's 6'10". He was first team all state in California, monster. And he's just, you know, his transcript was awesome. Awesome.
You're just like, no way. Did kid have a little fun at some point in high school, right?
You know, Mace is such a funny guy, man. He, you know, he dabbles with a little bit of everything. He called, you know, high school games, baseball games, and, you know, he plays guitar, and he's just a really well-rounded kid and comes from a really good family. So, but his transcript, you're like, gosh, he's, you know, I'm watching him grab offensive rebound and throw guys around. And then you're like, you know, this guy's got a 4.0 and, you know, unbelievable transcript. So it was, those guys you love those guys.
So I don't know if I told you this one. So Pat Garrity was at Notre Dame, obviously, when I was there. Mm-hmm. And the famous Pat Garrity story was he, after his first semester, maybe his second semester, I think his first semester, he got a B, and, Fran McCaffrey, who recruited both of us, and he's a year ahead of me. And McCaffrey called him in. He's like, Pat, look at your grades, and you got to be like, we didn't bring you all the way here from Colorado to get a beer. He's like, yes, sir, coach. And he like walked out, like he was like pissed. And he was like, I was kidding, Beth. Beth, I was kidding.
That's amazing.
Joke. Just mess with you. And like, never got another beat.
That's awesome. Like, that's awesome.
just nutty.
All right, that's it for part one of my my pod with Sky Etten. Part two is really, really fascinating. We also talk about FIBA rules, coaching together, and the pandemic year in the Ivy League, what they did and how hard it was to come back from it. A reminder, the Doug Gottlieb Show is daily, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific, on your iHeartRadio app. You can also download it in podcast form. You can listen to it at Fox Sports Radio or foxsportsradio.com. In the meantime, stay tuned for part two. We'll drop it in like a day. I'm Doug Gottlieb, and this is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see oceanside relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.